can't feed on the powerless when my cup's already overfilled. Hello all, welcome back to another episode of Courage Over Convention. I am Woody Wigman, and today I'm here to discuss complex adaptive systems as opposed to complicated systems and make some crucial delineations between those two kinds of systems. They're often used interchangeably in common parlance, but they're very different when you get down to the scientific implications and definitions of each. So I'm not going to discuss the differences between complex and complex adaptive or type 2 systems. I'll use the terms interchangeably, even though, as I said, they're not at all synonymous. So the first thing to know about complex systems, these systems are connected networks of interdependent, diverse, and individually adaptive parts. These individual parts are often called nodes or agents. Complex systems are, in a sense, greater or different from the sum of their parts. So you can't analyze the greater system based on one agent. Analysis using the agent-based model is going to be wildly inaccurate because more is different, to put it in, to use an old truism. I'll talk about the different elements of complex systems from an agent level perspective, but let's start with the more system level features of complexity. The first is self-organized criticality. So the definition here is of SOC, as I like to call it, because I'm a cool guy. SOC, it's a property of complex systems where they naturally evolve to a critical state. They're sort of balanced on the edge of order and chaos. That's the sweet spot for self-organized criticality. Yeah, that's the meat of the wooden bat, as Ken Griffey Jr. swings. That's really where things take off from a complexity perspective. So in this state, you know, small changes can lead to cascading effects. Let's imagine a sand pile on a beach. You keep adding grains of sand slowly to the sand pile, and the pile grows and grows until finally it reaches a critical point. And at this point, just one single grain can cause an avalanche, a tiny avalanche, but if we scaled that up, it would be a rather large one. Same thing is true with actual avalanches in many cases. So just that that one grain of sand can cause things to really cascade downwards. It may also cause just a tiny shift, depending on the positioning of the myriad other grains of sand. So the system has organized itself into this critical state without any outside intervention. The second piece that I wanted to discuss is tipping points. So a tipping point is a threshold. It's in a system where a small change, again, leads to a significant and very often irreversible effect. It's the point at which, it's that sort of fulcrum at which momentum for change becomes unstoppable. Let's imagine a social trend, like, say, adopting the iPhone, for example. You know, initially everyone's on the BlackBerry, they love the security of it, they love the buttons. but initially there were a few early adopters that did switch over and, hey, check this thing out. It's all glass, but it works. And as more and more people started using it, eventually there was a point on the curve where adoption suddenly began to accelerate at an exponential pace. Things really got off the tarmac fast, and soon enough, BlackBerry was essentially at 0% market share, and the iPhone, you know, has people waiting around the block for just the next iteration. So things become mainstream. Taylor Swift would be an example. You know, I consider her a skilled artist. However, I lived in Nashville for a while, and the first Marriott that I went into in my first night when I stayed there, the woman playing piano and singing in the lounge, I was like, how are you not famous? So the point is, there's sort of a, those social trends are a great example of these tipping points where it's sort of an asymptote in terms of the growth, if you were to chart it out, rapid acceleration once it hits that tipping point. So these concepts are fascinating to me because they really illuminate the underlying dynamics of complex systems and what they mean for nature, society, technology. They show us systems can balance on the edge of chaos, on the edge of normalcy and chaos. And it shows how they kind of transition from one state to another with very small triggers leading to significant shifts. There's no one discrete causal driver that you can point to as the driver behind the emergent phenomenon. That's why, you know, in the Wall Street Journal, articles will read, stocks decline as traders take profits, not because traders take profits. They're very careful with their language. So understanding these principles really provides insight into everything from ecological sustainability to market dynamics, you know, financial markets and social change as well. Now on the agent level, the first quality I want to talk about is just the level of interdependence from node to node or piece to piece, agent to agent. Imagine, let's take a V8 engine and a V6 engine, and all else equal, you know, let's assume same car, same size cylinders, same everything. That V8 engine is going to inflict a heck of a lot more friction on that tire rubber than the V6 will. That's sort of an example of interdependence. Pedal being pushed, there's an edge or a relationship between the pedal and the spark causes the spark plug in the engine to ignite the injected fuel, and boom, the pistons are going. That's two interdependent nodes in the system. Diversity is another key descriptive factor when talking about the agent level. Diversity across the parts of a system elevate complexity, potentially, but not by diversity by itself is not enough for us to distinguish between a complicated system and a complex system. It is a prerequisite for complexity, but a complicated system can have very diverse parts with a high degree of interdependence. Or let's stay with the car example. You know, the steering column, the braking system, the transmission, the radio, you know, all the rest. They comprise a very diverse little system that's going to get you from place to place, but it's actually not a complex one. And why is that? That is due to the relationship between these diverse car parts, these diverse nodes. And these relationships, you can think of them as sort of ribbons from node to node connecting one another. These relationships, or edges, as they're often called, they're static. They're not dynamic. So, you know, the spark plug, it lights the petrol in the engine cylinders, but it doesn't have the agency to, you know, crawl out and light a cigarette for a passing driver. You know, it's not going to act in unpredictable ways that it, as an agent within the system, finds adaptable for itself. Thus, the outcomes of complicated systems do not necessarily exhibit emergence. They are, in fact, very predictable. So you don't get these tail events or extreme outcomes. But things get a little weird when you have the aforementioned conditions in place, and then you introduce individual node adaptability. Emergence occurs in those systems where nodes can exhibit what each node considers adaptive. So highly diverse nodes, many nodes that are highly diverse, can cease to act in a divergent manner. They can sort of act in a more of a convergent manner in terms of their behavior. Act homogeneously, to put it in a more apt way. And these edges enforce sort of this broad mimetic wave of behaviors. And that's what kind of causes these tail events or these extreme outlier events. So this means that emergent phenomena can't be predicted merely by analyzing individual components, as I mentioned. You know, the weather, again, financial markets, qualia, or human consciousness. These are, you know, among the most oft-cited examples of complex adaptive systems. And in the case of the human consciousness and the financial markets, and for that matter, the weather, we don't fully understand and we can't project well into the future what those systems will do. So predictability and tail events are both defining features, lack of predictability, I should say, of complexity. What's odd about this is that despite this, you know, tendency toward extreme phenomena, just the complicated nature of a system, you'd think, well, that's a system that's pretty fragile. No, well, on the contrary, these complex systems are far more robust than just mere complicated systems. Well, let's take another example: the extinction of megafauna across the planet. That is not sad as it is. It has not caused worldwide ecological collapse. We see biological systems are very diverse, have many nodes. They have a high degree of adaptability, and it's all interconnected. So you have this network that is incredibly robust to system-level shocks. But let's compare sort of an ecological example to a renovation on a house. Let's imagine what happens to a house if you decide, hey, let's broaden the kitchen a little bit and let's take out this wall. And then you go ahead and you take a sledgehammer to the wall and it turns out that it's load bearing. Well, that's going to be an issue for you and your loved ones will be none too pleased with you either. So this breakdown might help further clarify things. Again, predictability. Complex systems are typically less predictable than complicated systems. Emergence. Complex systems show emergent properties, which is a more is different type of a phenomena. The system itself takes on properties of its own as a result of the innumerable interactions between the constituent parts. Complicated systems, they don't have these sort of emergent, unpredictable phenomena that occur. Adaptability. Complex systems comprised of agents that adapt to changes in the environment, while, again, complicated systems are static. A home and a car have a great deal of interdependence and diversity of agents. However, those relationships, those edges, are static, and the individual components, though they may move or shift, they move and shift in predictable ways. So I consider them to be static as well at the agent or node level. They don't have these dynamic constituents. The ability to control these systems, intervene and control as humans like to do, is another feature that sets complex adaptive systems apart from complicated systems, complicated dynamic systems. You know, complex adaptive systems are driven by entropy and are wildly unpredictable and resilient to shocks. They're also resilient to external or exogenous attempts to control and aim for a specific outcome. In fact, those attempts often lead to even more unpredictable events, either in the present or down the line, as we've seen with economic interventions. So in the next episode here, I'm going to talk about dancing landscapes, rugged landscapes, and flat landscapes. It's a related discussion, but it relates to how you, the individual agent, should conduct yourself optimally when faced with these different systems, these different problems. It's sort of a way of a mental model of sorts to think about how much to explore and how much to exploit given the challenge or the circumstances that lie in front of you. So I think that'll be a very valuable discussion. I'm also going to touch on the developments in quantum computing and how the answer to harnessing complexity, or at least a better answer for harnessing complexity, may lie in this nascent but fast-growing technology. So it could be a very, very formative moment in human history, and I can't wait to talk about it. So I'll see you soon. Thanks.